It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was... Wait. Sorry. Wrong story. Oh, here we go. It was Christmas Eve in the early 21st century, not referring to any particular date and time, and Obamanezer Scrooge was convinced that liberalism would rule. Years later, in his office, he sat making important phone calls, unaware that his life would change forever.
We can't have this Christmas business going on in our company. It'll offend all the atheists. Right. So no Christmas trees, no Santa Clauses, no menorahs. Oh, menorahs are Jewish. Well, Jews do vote overwhelmingly for Democrats, so I think that's okay. All right. Talk to you soon. Come in.
Sir?
Cratchit, have you taken your union-mandated break yet?
Yes, sir, I have. It's about tomorrow.
You'll be wanting the whole day off, I assume.
If it's most convenient, sir.
It's very inconvenient. It interferes with the union meeting.
I know, sir, and I'm terribly sorry. But my family loves Christmas, and they really want me home.
Bah, humbug. Christmas is for those who cling to God and guns. How are your numbers?
I'm a little behind, sir.
Well, it's good enough for union work. You can have the whole day off, but I expect you back the day after at the top of the morning to get back to work.
Thank you, sir. And Merry Christmas to you.
And Merry Christmas to you, too.
In case no one's noticed, Obamanezer Scrooge is a very liberal man, and he much doesn't like anything that's not very secular or progressive. He's a douche, you see. Rather than hoping Santa will fill his stockings with treats, he hopes Karl Marx will give him some redistributed wealth to go on a lavish vacation while telling everyone else to share their wealth. But what can I say? He loves to tell people how to live with not following his own advice. But that doesn't matter when you're the big liberal cheese. Later that night, after closing up shop, Scrooge began his trek home. He shook hands with people who loved him, filled them with false hope, then walked away to let them hope the hope they were filled with will hopefully come to fruition. He also pointed and laughed at people who sat in a cafe sneering at him and drinking tea, commenting on how stupid and clueless they must be. Eventually, he arrived at his home, and while he hunted for his keys, he heard a voice.
Scrooge.
What the hell was that?
Scrooge!
Scrooge! Saul? Saul, is that you?
No, Scrooge, you idiot.
Scrooge was both nervous and confused, a feeling he was not unfamiliar with. He finally found his keys and opened the door.
Scrooge.
Scrooge was now scared. Something was not right. He felt so... unloved. He rushed up the stairs in fear, away from the feeling of not being loved. But he still felt haunted as the voice ominously called his name.
Scrooge!
Scrooge entered his room, locked the door, and waited. He heard no voice, so he breathed a sigh of relief. Then prepared for bed. He had an early day the next morning, and he needed his rest. As he changed into his pajamas and lit the fire, he heard another sound. Scrooge turned to the door, and the door burst open!
Ah!
Standing in the doorway was Jacob Marley. Kind of.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
Well, I can't ask who you were, because you're here now, and that makes no...
Just ask me.
Fine. Who were you?
I was once your friend and partner, Jacob Marley.
Jacob Marley crossed the room, dragging long, heavy chains behind him, and sat in a chair. Scrooge took the seat across from him.
Why are you here?
I have come to save your soul.
Well, my soul is just fine. Sorry you wasted your time.
Your soul is in danger. You are on your way to creating the worst future for our country. One we never thought was possible.
I think you're exaggerating a bit. I'm merely trying to create a fair environment for everyone to get the same access to rights.
That's the flaw with your thinking. We all have access to the same rights. But it is up to the individual to create whatever life they want for themselves.
Yeah, whatever. What's up with those chains?
I once believed in the philosophies of liberal progressivism were the right path for the future. Now I've learned after my life that this is not the case, and I carry these heavy chains and wander in limbo until I learn my lesson.
Can ghosts feel weight?
These damn chains are heavy. But these chains and policies I bear are only because I preach these ideals and policies. But you have actually put policy in place that puts these ideals into place. And you cannot imagine the chains that your soul bears. And the country will soon be bearing your chains.
Doesn't sound so bad.
It's horrible!
Okay, it's horrible.
Tonight, you will be visited by three spirits.
Really? I don't know if that can be done.
Expect the first at the stroke of one.
Okay, seriously, I'm playing nine holes tomorrow, and I have to be a burly.
They will teach you the error of your ways, and you will see why your philosophies are dangerous for our country.
And almost as quickly as he appeared, Jacob Marley's ghost, disappeared. Well, that was cliche. It would have been funnier if he had made Scrooge look the other way and then run. That would have been hilarious. So Scrooge, decidedly disconnected from reality, decided to go to bed. Dear God! I wonder if he knows that they have surgery for something like that. Can we speed this up, please? He sounds like a gutted wildebeest! Are you kidding me? Seriously? He's gonna wake the neighbors! Ah, thank God! It's 1 o'clock in the morning and the first ghost has arrived.
What was that?
The candles in the room all came alit. Wait a minute. Alit's not a word. Someone slapped bacon. There we go. Scrooge sat up, and the door burst open. Wow. Scrooge really sounds like a girl. Fitting for a liberal man.
Who are you?
I'm the ghost of conservative past. I'm President Ronald Reagan.
Oh, you look like an actor I saw in an old movie.
Well, I used to be an actor, and I used to be a liberal much like you. But then I learned that the direction I was going in was not the way we needed to go. So I learned about the Founding Fathers. I learned that government was not the answer. And when I became president, I used conservative principles to create some of the most prosperous times in American history.
Right.
Don't take that tone with me, you schmuck. Let me show you the error of your ways. Touch my robe.
Really?
Yes.
That's kind of gay.
Touch the sleeve, then, you homophobe.
And without looking gay at all, Scrooge touches the sleeve of Reagan's robe, and through magic... Really? Seriously? That gay harp music just totally ruined the non-gay credibility. Whatever. And magically, Scrooge and Reagan found themselves in a busy college hallway.
Wow!
You know this place?
I do! I taught law here. This is the University of Chicago.
Yes, you taught liberal politics and radicalism. If you're gonna go liberal, you might as well come to Chicago. And if you look down the hall, there you are.
Oh, that's just some guy in the neighborhood.
Looks like domestic terrorist Bill Ayers.
No, it's just some guy in the neighborhood.
No denying it, Mr. Scrooge. You started your political career in his living room. I'm sure that's what you're discussing right now. You've let men like Bill Ayers, Jeremiah Wright, and Saul Alinsky influence your life. And now you're a raging liberal who taught at a raging liberal university in a raging liberal town. You've let your raging liberal policies drive this country into the ground.
No! That was George W. Bush who did that!
Are you sure about that?
Reagan waves his arm and... Oh, come on. I thought we agreed. No more gay harp music. Jeez. And just as magically as they appeared in the university in Chicago, they were suddenly standing in a trading room in Wall Street.
Why is it so loud here?
Sorry.
Reagan waves his hand again and the sound disappears.
How'd you do that?
These are but shadows of the past. I can control the sounds we hear and the sights we see.
I wish I could do that with Fox News. What place is this? I've never seen anything like it.
I didn't think you would. This is Wall Street, and these men are trading stocks. We're in January of 2004, and the second round of Bush tax cuts have just been passed. You know what these men and women are doing? They're spending money. Companies are investing and are able to hire more workers. The unemployment rate will drop to as low as 4.3% under Bush. The stock market will skyrocket to the highest levels in history, and the economy will flourish because of the moves that Bush made.
But Bush was an idiot!
That's all you liberals say. You insult the man's intelligence because he doesn't have a poster of Karl Marx above his bed. Bush knew what the people needed in order to prosper, and it wasn't the government. Liberals often ignore the fact that under Bush's administration, the country saw 52 consecutive months of job growth. That's yet another record for America.
So, the less government gets involved, the better the country does?
You got it.
That just doesn't make sense to me.
And that's why you'll be visited by three spirits tonight. Clearly, my efforts were not going to be enough to convince you of the error of your ways. Still, let's look at another example.
Okay, this time, no harp music. Okay, there we go. Now! Oh, what the hell? Moving on. Within the blink of an eye, they were in the middle of a war zone.
What's going on? Where are we?
Oops, sorry. I meant to pause it.
Where did you take me?
This is Iraq. We're in the midst of a battle in which proud American soldiers are fighting for the freedom of the Iraqis. This is the day after the surge, and all of these extra troops are in the process of eliminating terrorists by the boatload. Of course, you were against the whole concept of taking down a fascist dictator and bringing freedom to people who would otherwise never see it.
But this is a war we can't win. I said I'd get these troops home.
You also went around the world apologizing for us. Now the world sees Americans as weak pansies, and we've seen several major terrorist attacks since 9/11, more in just a couple of years than in the 8 years following those attacks.
Ha! That's absurd. I dare you to name one!
The Fort Hood shooting, the attempted bombing in Times Square, the Christmas Day underwear bomber, the ink toner attempts...
I said one!
You know, your predecessor once said that the right choice isn't always the popular choice, and the popular choice isn't always the right choice. He worked hard to find the right choices. You work hard to find the popular ones, and the popular ones are losing popularity. These brave men and women you walk among now are still putting their lives on the line for freedom, for us and for them. And your way of showing gratitude is by spitting on them. It's the same thing with those men and women who are trying to create an environment for a prosperous economy. You spit on them for succeeding. You tell them that they shouldn't keep what they earn. And you tell people who don't earn anything that they should be able to get anything they want. That message is backwards and convoluted. And not at all what America is about.
Are we done yet?
Not yet. Walk with me this way.
Scrooge and Reagan walked around the frozen images of soldiers till they found a bunker where a soldier lay hiding with a gunshot wound on his leg.
You see that young man? He was shot in the leg. He will be brought to a medical unit, and he'll be sent home with an honorable discharge. But what will he come home to? A country spiraling down a path where his work is not appreciated, so he was wounded in vain.
Stop it!
What's wrong? Too emotional for you? It's the same bleeding heart arguments that liberals have always used to make their points, like the woman who had to borrow dentures or whatever. That man is real. What happened to him is real, and what he fights for is real.
No! 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 No!
No!
No!
No!
No!
No!
No!
No!
No!
No!
No!
and just as quickly as he jumped from one place to another, Scrooge was back in his bed.
What? Oh, it was just a dream. And I could still make it to my golf game on time tomorrow.
Well, I guess that's a goal to reach. Wow. I've never heard sounds like that before. I really hope he doesn't hurt himself. Okay, I've got to move this story along before he blows a gasket. Suddenly, there was a loud bang.
Ah!
And a laugh is heard from the next room over. Well, that was not what I was expecting. Scrooge got out of bed and walked to the door, opened it, and found the second spirit sitting next to the fire, giggling at her blackberry.
Are you Sarah Palin?
Well, yes, I am. Don't you flippin' know it.
Oh, why are you in my living room and sitting next to my fireplace?
Well, I'm the ghost of conservative present, and I'm here to show you what's been going on as of late in the good old U.S. of A.
And why are you staring at your blackberry?
Oh, I'm tweeting. It says, going to show Scrooge what it means to be a conservative.
Is there anything you don't tweet?
Not that I can think of. Now let's go. We've got a lot to see.
And bursting from the fire, a dog sled appears. Really? Is that not overly cliche and stereotypical? Bacon, slap yourself again. There we go. Anyway, so Sarah Palin and Scrooge hop on the dog sled and go on their way. And just as quickly as before, Scrooge suddenly finds himself in the middle of a huge crowd of people.
Where are we?
We're in the middle of a tea party rally.
A tea party rally? You brought me here in the middle of all these racist Nazis?
Look around you, kook. Do you see any racist messages? Do you see any Nazi paraphernalia? Do you see anyone here who is just spewing racial epithets?
Scrooge circles the crowd very slowly, as if he is honestly looking for those signs with racism.
Well, no, not here. But I'm sure there are somewhere.
You're not getting it, Scrooge. There's nothing racist about the Tea Party. It hasn't been since it started. We all believe in the same principles. Less spending, small government, low taxes. Why is that so hard for you to get?
I don't know why they are complaining. I mean, I inherited this system from the previous administration, and I've saved the country from going off the brink. You'd think these people would be thanking me.
Thanking you for what? You forced legislation they didn't want. You've insulted and demeaned them. You've made the future very uncertain. There's not much that they can thank you for. Well, except showing others in the country the importance of true conservative values.
Well, maybe I'm not delivering my message clearly enough.
Oh, no, they get the message. And we're fighting it. Because we don't want it. These people are not ignorant. They're not confused or lost children. They're Americans who have decided what they want from their country, and every time you speak, you ignore them.
But it's what I've inherited.
It's been 2 years. How are you going to keep blaming the previous administration?
In a rare moment, Scrooge is speechless, and there are no teleprompters available.
There's more to see.
And off go the sled dogs. Why did it have to be sled dogs? Anyway, so now the dog sled takes Sarah and Scrooge into a dining room.
Now where'd you take me?
This is the home of a small family in Ohio. That's Pam, and those are the two sons, Greg and Mark. They're sitting at the table eating dinner together as a family.
Where's their father?
Oh, he's at work. See, Pam lost her job after the stimulus package passed. You know, that stimulus package that claimed to create or save 600,000 jobs, but instead lost around 3 or 4 million. After that happened, her husband, Greg Sr., offered to work longer shifts in order to pay their bills. But they still had to make sacrifices, so they stopped eating out. Pam and Greg stopped going out to their weekly date nights, and they're doing whatever they can to keep themselves afloat. Meanwhile, the politicians in Washington are spending away money like it grows on trees, and this nice little Ohio family is wondering why they're scratching the bottom of the barrel and the government just does whatever they want.
Well, that's not a fair critique. It's a job to spend the money. That will help people.
No, it's your job to listen to the American people. The American people want you to stop spending money and actually listen to them. That's why your party got such a shell-shacking in the recent election.
Again? They didn't get the message.
Okay, I'm not going through this again. We have another place to visit.
And the dog sled arrives again. I think I'm getting used to the dog sled. And again, they are swooped up into another home, seeing a man and his child sitting on the living room couch.
Hey, I know that guy.
Do you now?
Yes, that's Bob Cratchit. He works for me. He's going to miss the big union meeting tomorrow.
That's true, but he's working so much to provide for his family that he barely gets to see his young son.
Oh, what's wrong with his leg?
He was born with some kind of complication. Poor Tiny Tim may never be able to walk without that crutch.
Well, it's a good thing we passed the healthcare overhaul. Now he can get insurance, even with the pre-existing condition.
Actually, with unions dropping children's healthcare and premiums going up across the country, that may be harder, way harder than you think. And those things have been happening because that overhaul passed.
Well, no, that's because...
Oh, just shut up for a second. Listen.
Are you staying home for Christmas tomorrow, Daddy?
Yes, I am, Tim. Mr. Scrooge gave me the whole day off.
Then you have to go back to work after that?
Well, yes, son, I have to. It's my job.
What do you do, Daddy?
I work for the government.
Yeah, but what do you do?
It's government, Tim. It really doesn't matter what I do specifically.
So why do you have to go to work?
It's my job. It has to be done.
Okay, Daddy.
It's okay, Tim. We're going to play games and eat turducken and sing carols and everything.
Yeah, but you work so much.
Yes, I know, but it's important for me to work.
Why?
Well, my job is to send out welfare checks. There are lots of people out there who need their welfare checks, and I need to send them out. My boss says that those welfare checks give us the biggest bang for our buck.
What are welfare checks?
It's money given to people who don't work. We give money to people who aren't working.
But why do you have to work all the time and they don't?
You'll understand it better when you're older.
How often does he get to see his son?
Well, you have to come to work at 8 in the morning. Tim wakes up around 9. Bob works all day, and you sometimes make him work late. Sometimes till 8 or 9 at night. By then, Tim is in bed, so I guess you could say he doesn't get to see him much.
But a man needs to be with his son. You know, my father was never around and...
What?
Nothing. What about Tim?
What about him?
He never gets to see his father.
You're getting annoyed at me? You're the one who created an economic situation where more people are out of work and therefore need those checks, making Bob work later.
No, that was...
Yeah. The person you took over for screwed up everything and you tried to fix it, but it didn't work. You've been in control for 2 years. How are you not accepting responsibility for this? That man is working more because people can't work because you want to create a nanny state.
But I was trying to make everything better.
Well, here's a shocker for you. It's not better. It's worse. And it's not getting any better.
No.
Thank you.
Really? Poof? The harp music was gay, but saying poof isn't gay? Bacon, slap yourself again. Thank you. And just like that, Scrooge is back in his bed like he's having another nightmare. He may have even wet the bed. If he did, it'd be hilarious. Nope, doesn't look like he did. What a shame. Anyway, so far, Scrooge has seen his past and why he is who he is, and he's seen the present that he created. But how would he react to seeing the future?
Who's that?
Scrooge looks up to see a figure wearing a dark robe and a hood over his head.
I am the ghost of conservative future.
And you're going to show me what the future is supposed to look like if things continue the way they do.
You've done this before, haven't you?
Well, we do have to keep a close eye on Fox News. By the way, you look familiar.
I should. I'm the senator-elect from Florida, Marco Rubio.
Does that mean you're going to fight everything I tried to do?
If you paid attention at all tonight, I won't have to. You do realize how great this country is. And I would have thought that you would have figured that out by now.
I don't see anything wrong with what I've seen tonight.
Well, then I've got some work to do.
Okay, please. No harp music this time? Whoa. That's pretty dark. And slightly emo. Rubio and Scrooge watch their surrounding fade. It becomes very dark around them. And when the world comes back into view, it's dull and ugly. Not unlike the First Lady.
Where? Where are we?
This is Washington, D.C.
Well, why is it so dark? Washington is a vibrant, interesting city.
Not anymore. Liberalism believes in a socialist viewpoint, the idea that everyone is supposed to be equal. The flaw is it takes away freedoms in order to achieve that equality, taking away from some to give to others. Because of your fundamental transformation, people needed to be equal. So you took away money and property from people who had it and gave it to people who didn't. And eventually you took away freedom in order to achieve that. After a while, you couldn't have color. You couldn't show any kind of expression at all for fear of offending someone. You have achieved what George Orwell predicted.
Wasn't Orwell a fiction writer?
Of course he was. But he based his classic novel on what a totally socialistic society would look like. There was no freedom. People worked the way the government told them, lived where they told them, ate and drank what they told them. And anyone who went out of line was arrested, tortured, and executed. And for what? A false sense of equality? People were miserable, depressed, and were lied to. If you read more than 10 books a year, you'd probably know that.
I'm trying to make the world better.
And you're doing that by tearing down what this nation has always stood for. People have the freedom to do what they want to become successful. And you took that away from them. And you also weakened us internationally, wanting to negotiate with terrorists and play nice with people who don't want to play nice with us. It shows weakness, not strength. You don't get it. This country is a great country because it gives opportunity to everyone who wants it. But you choose to spit all over that for your own form of justice. And guess what? It is failing. You can see it now. The future shows your plans leading us down the road to another terrible world.
No!
So Scrooge does that whining thing he's done many times before. Sounding like a little whiny boy he is. Wah, wah, wah. And after a little bit more whining, and Scrooge will eventually wake up in his bed like he's having a nightmare. He wakes up in his bed, looks around, and he realizes what today is.
I'm okay. And the world, it's not colorless and boring. Hello? Oh, I didn't realize it's so late. No, cancel the union meeting. Tell everyone to go home. And Merry Christmas!
Scrooge jumps out of his bed in jubilance. He runs through his room, dancing like a little girl. Suddenly, there's a knock at the door.
Yes?
The door opens, and Jacob Marley walks in.
Holy crap!
What?
I thought you were dead.
No, I'm your butler, remember?
What am I paying you again?
Yeah, not as much as that Diaz chick.
Seriously, how much?
It's called minimum wage.
Triple it.
What?
Triple it. That comes to, I was really stoned in math class.
About $21 an hour.
Yeah, that sounds better. But I am not paying you today.
What? Why?
Because it's Christmas, and you're taking the day off.
Really?
Really, go home, and Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And Merry Christmas.
Jacob Marley runs out the door cheering.
Yahoo!
Then the phone rings.
Hello?
Sir, it's Bob. I heard the meeting was canceled.
Yep, because it's Christmas.
But you said the meeting was important.
The meeting can wait. Christmas is important. Spending time with your family is important. So enjoy your time with your family.
Well, thank you, sir. Wait, sorry. It's my son. Yeah, I'm staying home. Oh, really? Okay. My son wants to say something to you.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Scrooge.
You're welcome, son.
And Merry Christmas.
And to you, son.
And God bless us, everyone.
Indeed. Well, that was weird.
Scrooge went about his business as a happier and healthier person. And after a major shellacking, it is unclear if Scrooge will change his ways for sure. But I guess we can wait and see.